Great to be with you in the service of praise and worship and adoration today. You know, we are beginning a brand new series called Lions and Fire and Beasts. Oh my. It's a study through the best stories in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. So that's what we're going to be doing today. If you haven't done so already, I want to invite you to take out your Christ Church notes. They're there in your worship program. You'll find a pen or a pencil and seat back in front of you. You'll need that to jot down a few things along the way as we explore the stories together. You know, Pastor Tony kicked us off last weekend with the story of Daniel and the lion's den. Daniel and the lion's den. Today, I'm privileged to be teaching from Daniel chapter 3, and it's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Now, before I tell you that story, I want to take just 2 minutes and put the story in time and place so you can see where it fits into our history and when this story actually occurred. So, the story you're about to hear takes place in the ancient city of Babylon. In the ancient city of Babylon. In fact, we have the map right here. You can see Babylon. It's clearly in the Fertile Crescent right here. It's in the present-day country of Iraq. In fact, it would be located approximately 57 miles south of the present-day city of Baghdad. And so this is the ancient city of Babylon. It would have been the capital of this entire Babylonian empire. Now, here's the deal. You know, we have this story about three Jewish guys, three highly intelligent, godly, and faithful Jewish guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the story where it takes place where they're living, and they're living in Babylon. And you may be thinking, well, you know, Pastor John, what are three young Jewish men, faithful, godly, intelligent, doing way over here in Babylon, so far from home in Jerusalem? Why are they so far away? Well, let me tell you, the story takes place about sometime after 586 BC. Because in 586 BC, it was an horrible time for the people of God. It was a rough time to be God's people during that time, particularly back in Jerusalem. Because in 586, the Babylonian army, mighty, powerful, the most powerful in the world, came over and camped right outside Jerusalem. They waited until the proper moment when, with all of their battering rams, with all of their swords, with all of everything, all of the might and power of the Babylonian army, they came and beat against the walls and the fortress of Jerusalem, breaking through the gates, breaking through the walls. When they came in, they devastated the place. They killed thousands, and I mean thousands, Amon, thousands of citizens of Jerusalem. They set Jerusalem on fire. Houses, stores were going up in flames. Not only that, they climbed up onto the temple of God, the Temple Mount, where the grand temple of God sat, and they destroyed it. They took it down to its foundation. They destroyed the temple of God in Jerusalem. And if all of that wasn't enough, the Babylonian army rounded up the best and brightest and most intelligent citizens of Jerusalem and then put them on a march that went all the way from Jerusalem 900 miles across the Fertile Crescent to a new home and resettled them in Babylon. They were now people without a country. It was a horrible time to be one of God's people in sometime right after 586. It was a very, very difficult time. And so that's how Daniel, you heard the story last week, Daniel and the lion's den, that's how Daniel, and that's how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got all the way to Babylon from their home in Jerusalem. And all of these stories that we're about to tell over last week, this week, and the next 2 weeks are happening right there in Babylon. Now, this morning, I'm going to, instead of reading the story from an adult Bible, one of our Bibles, I'm going to actually read it from a children's Bible. Children's Bible. I'll tell you why. If you read my weekly letter this week, you'll know a little bit about this. But when I was in third grade, I remember hearing this story for the very first time. Third grade Sunday school. My Sunday school teacher was named Mrs. Knight. When I was in third grade, I thought she was about 100 years old. But she could tell a story, and she made an impression on my life. I mean, even today, I know who she is. I can picture her in my mind. She would read from the children's Bible. She sat, when she told this story, she sat on a stool, and then beside her was a flannel graph. A flannel graph. And which, if, in case you don't know, I mean, that, first of all, that's the LED screens of 1967, okay? It was a flannel graph. And any good Sunday school teacher back then would have a flannel graph where the figures of, say, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or the fiery furnace and the lion's den, and all of that would be put up on the flannel board while you're telling the story, so you see the visual as it goes. Well, in honor of Mrs. Knight, my Sunday school teacher of the third grade, in honor of this, my favorite story in the Old Testament, I sit on the stool today and read from the children's Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Here, ladies and gentlemen, is the word of God for us. One day, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made a statue covered with gold. It was 90 feet tall. He told the people, "Horns and pipes will play, and when you hear the music, you must bow down and worship the statue. If you don't, you'll be thrown into a fiery hot furnace." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that they could only worship the one true God. When the music began to play, they refused to bow down and worship the statue. Someone said to the king, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down and worship your statue." So the king called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and said, "Is it true that you will not bow down and worship the gold statue I made? If you don't do it the next time the music plays, you'll be thrown into a fiery hot furnace. Then what God is going to be able to save you?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked at each other and said to the king, "Oh, king, we didn't make a mistake. Nor will we apologize for not bowing down. If we're thrown into the furnace, the God we worship will save us and he will rescue us. But if not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship your gold statue." The king was very angry. He called his servants and said, "Make the fire as hot as you can and throw these men into it." So his servants made a hot, hot fire. They threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace. But the king couldn't believe his eyes. He shouted to his servants, "Weren't there only three men thrown into the fire?" "Yes, O king," they replied. "Then why do I see four men walking around in the fire, untied and unhurt? And the fourth person looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar went as close as he could to the furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, followers of the Most High God, come out. So the men walked out of the furnace without any burns. They didn't even smell like smoke. The king was amazed. And at that moment, Nebuchadnezzar knew that they had worshiped a real God and said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and rescued his servants." They trusted him and were willing to die rather than worship any God but their own. Amen. This is God's word for us. We're God's people and we give God's thanks. It's God's word for us this morning today. You know, I love that story. I said I don't even believe it's an exaggeration to say that it's my favorite story of the Old Testament. In fact, let me tell you this. This just happened, in fact. I mean, when I say just happened, it happened approximately 30 minutes ago. Maybe 45. As soon as worship was over, the last hour, my son, 24-year-old son Hunter, came up the stairs and met me right there, and he gave me a hug, and he said, "Dad," he said, "what you don't know is this is my favorite story in the Old Testament too." And I said, "Really?" And he said, "You don't know why?" And I said, "No, I don't know why." He said, "Because at night, you used to read this story to me as I fell asleep." You know, and as I was thinking about that, it just warmed my heart. You know, I will say this, I guess, parents, let me tell you, if you don't think that reading these stories to your kids night after night makes a difference, I think you're wrong. Because my son said something to me today that I think I will remember till the day I die. So anyway, that's sort of beside the point, but I just wanted to share that with you. You see, it's one of my favorite stories of all time in the Old Testament. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. So today what I'm going to do is I'm going to recap the story, and then I'm going to tell you two life principles that you can apply to your life right now if you're going through those fiery, hot furnace times. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but think about this. Are you going through one of those fiery, hot furnace times of life? You know what I'm talking about, right? You know, when life gets hard, when it gets tough, when you feel that your life may be on the line, those fiery, hot furnace times. If you're in that, let me tell you, I've got a principle that you can apply just today. All right, let me recap the story. So, the story takes place in the ancient city of Babylon. It's in present-day Iraq. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of the vast Babylonian Empire, must have been on an ego trip, because he made this incredibly large statue and covered this thing with gold. In fact, it may have been his favorite Babylonian god. And when I say that, I want you to remember that we're talking about a polytheistic religion. So when Nebuchadnezzar was making this statue, he was making a statue of one of many different gods that they would worship. So it may have been his favorite god. And when he made this statue, he said that I want, when the horn trumpets begin to blow, when the pipes begin to sound, I want everyone in my kingdom to bow down wherever they are toward this statue and worship this image that I have made of gold. Now, the interesting thing to me about this whole deal is that this statue he made was huge. And I mean huge. The Bible says it was 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. Now, you may be thinking, well, what in the world's a cubit? Well, let me tell you. A cubit is an ancient measurement which runs from your middle finger to your elbow. This distance right here is the distance called a cubit. And it has been translated now into roughly 18 inches. So if you say 60 cubits, that's 60 times 18. You know how tall that is? 90 feet tall. 90 feet tall. It says it's 6 cubits wide. That would mean 9 feet wide, 90 feet tall. This thing was a huge, huge statue. And everybody had to bow down to it, because if you didn't, you would immediately be executed and thrown into the fiery hot furnace. There was no such thing as religious freedom in Babylon. Now, there were some people, according to the scripture, that knew Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think maybe they were jealous of him, of them. But for whatever reason, they decided they were going to sell Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out to the king. They knew that they refused to bow down and worship that gold statue. They knew it. They knew, those people who sold them out knew that they were godly, loyal people to the one and only God that they serve. They knew that. And for whatever reason, maybe they were looking for a reward from the king, they sold Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out. The king called them, sent for them. So the guys came. And the king said something like this: guys, maybe it was a mistake. Maybe you just didn't hear the music. Maybe you misunderstood my decree. But I've said that whenever the music plays, everybody in the kingdom, and that includes you, must bow down and worship in the direction of this gold statue that I have put up. And if you don't, I know you worship the one, you say you worship the one true God. But let me tell you this, if you don't, what God is going to be able to deliver you from my hands and the flames of that furnace? What God is going to be able to deliver you? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, well, O king, our God, we believe, is able to deliver us from your hands and save us from the flames of that furnace. But even if he doesn't, I want you to know, we're not going to worship your statue, and we're not going to bow down. Well, let me tell you, nobody talks to the king like that. The king wouldn't have it. He was furious at the guys. He was furious at Shadrach, furious at Meshach, furious at Abednego. And he told his servants, I want you to heat up that furnace, and I don't want you to heat it to normal temperature. I want you to heat it 7 times hotter than usual. And so the furnace was heated up. And the scripture says that the guards who tied up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and were throwing them into the furnace, they got so close to the furnace that the heat of that furnace was so hot that it killed the guards who were trying to put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego inside. That's how hot it was. Now, the king eventually comes to start looking at toward the furnace. And he can't believe his eyes. Something amazing is beginning to happen. He says to his servant, hey, did you guys throw 3 men into that furnace? And they said, of course we did, O king, yes. He said, well, then why do I see 4 persons in that furnace? They're all untied. They're walking around. It looks like they're unhurt. And besides, that 4th one looks like a son of the gods. And by the way, that phrase, the son of a god, is a Hebrew idiom that simply means God. It's a Hebrew idiom that simply means God. So what he was saying is that he said, that 4th one looks like God himself is in there with them. That God himself is inside that fire with those guys. So King Nebuchadnezzar got as close as he could to the furnace, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, you come on out of there. So the 3 guys walk out. It says they were untied, they were unhurt, not their clothes were not scorched, their hair was not scorched. It went on to say that they didn't even smell like smoke. And King Nebuchadnezzar was so amazed that he passed a law that nobody could say anything bad against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And just to top it off, they all got a raise and a promotion. So that's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So what do we learn from that? What do we learn from that great story in the Old Testament? Well, I think I've got time to give you two. There are more, but I'm going to give you two right now. Maybe I'll save the other two for another time. But I've got two life principles I want you to understand right now that you and I can learn from this story from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Two things I think that God is teaching us because of this story. Here's the first life principle, and that is, number one, you know, God will always honor your faith. Now, I want you to hear me say that right up front. God always honors your faith, but God does not always promise to deliver us. Matter of way, don't put it up yet. God doesn't always promise to deliver us from what? I'm asking you now. I know the answer. What? From trouble? That's true, but that's not my answer. That's true, but that's a good answer. What? There it is. Kara said it. From, put it on. Now, it is true that God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the flames of the fiery furnace. But let me ask you a question. Do you believe that that's the way God always chooses to work? Well, I think if you live in the real world, you'll answer correctly, and that's the answer no. God does not always choose to work that way. You know, I think of someone, I've got a couple of examples. Let me give you a biblical one first. You know, I think of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, you know, when he was writing his letter to the Philippians, to the church at Philippi, you know where he was writing from? Anybody remember? He was writing from prison. Where was the prison located? In Rome. He was writing from a prison in Rome. And he longed for the day when he would be released from that prison and be able to be set free to go back out into the world, to win more people for Jesus, to build more churches, start more churches, to have an impact on the kingdom. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he prayed for. He prayed for God to deliver him from that jail that he may be able to continue his ministry in the world. Now, but the thing is, he knew that that's not always the way God would work, that it may turn out differently. In fact, he even said this. Check this out. It's Philippians 1:20. It says, "Everything happening to me in this jail only serves to make Christ more accurately known, regardless of whether I," what? "Live or die." Regardless of whether I live or die. I want to live. He'd been saying that. I want to live. I want to go on. I want to be set free. I want to do more work for the kingdom. But whatever happens, whether I live or die, there's purpose in this suffering right here, right now. You know, I want you to understand that God never promised to deliver us from physical death. He never promised that when you pray for a healing, that you are going to get it. That is, when you pray for a physical healing, he never promised that when you pray for a physical healing, that you're going to be physically healed and thereby saved from physical death or delivered from physical death. Let me tell you, you know what God has promised? He didn't promise always to physically heal us. You know what he always promised to do? He always has promised to walk with us, even through the valley of the shadow of death. God has always promised to be with us, always promised to be near us, always promised to be right there for us, that God is for us when everybody else is against us. And he has promised to be right with you, but he's never promised to always physically heal you. You know, I think of the story of my own dad. When I was 16 years old, my dad died of a massive heart attack. And the 30 days that were leading up to that time, I remember praying for my father. I mean, I don't remember a time, whether I was at school or whether I was at home or wherever, that I wasn't praying that God would deliver my dad, that he would heal him, that he would restore him back to health. But you know, 30 days later, my father died when I was 16 years old and died on Easter Sunday morning. You see, God healed my dad. Yes, he really did. And it's taken me a long time to understand that. That my father was healed the day that God called him home. For at that moment, there was no more mourning or crying or pain or sickness or heart disease or anything else, because all those things had now passed away. And remember that the goal of our faith is not to prolong life right here, but the goal of our faith is to be with our Lord and Savior face to face. I'll even tell you this, because, you know, when God said that I will walk with you, you know, even through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 23, I'll be with you, I'll be near you. He also told Paul, he said, look, he said, matter of fact, it's 2 Corinthians 12:9. He says, my grace is always, let's read this next piece, more than enough for you, period. Stop there. My grace, God says, no matter what you're going through, my grace in your life is always and will always be more than enough for you. I want to end this little piece that God doesn't always promise to deliver us from physical death with this question and comment. You know, it is true that God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from physical death, right? He delivered them from the fiery furnace. Okay, think about that. God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. So here's my question to you. Where's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego today? Are they hobbling around Babylon, 2,600 years old, down the streets of Babylon? Huh? Okay, you're saying no. Where are they? Heaven. How'd they get there? Okay. Put the thing back on the screen. God doesn't promise always to deliver us. Can we get the thing back on the screen? Here it is. From where? From physical death. That's right. Apply it in your life. When you're going through the fiery hot furnace times, remember, God's grace is more than enough. He promises he will always be with us. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, he will walk with us. And healing comes in so many different ways. He may choose to ultimately heal us through bringing us home. But whatever it is, he will walk with us, and his grace is always more than enough. Okay, number two, here we go. Life principle number two. If you, matter of fact, you probably know this one because it's a saying that if you don't stand for something, you'll what? fall for anything, put it in. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. It's a life principle. You can count on this happening. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for just about anything. And here's what I mean by that and how it applies here. You know, it's easy to read this story and think, you know, why on earth would those boys risk everything for the sake of an old statue? You know, to put it another way, you'd say, why in the world didn't those guys just bow down and pretend to worship that statue? I mean, why would they risk their life for something like this? Well, that's a good question, and it deserves a good answer. And here's the answer I want to give to that question. Because you see, I think that God was using that time in their life. He wasn't causing it, but he was using this time in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's life as a defining God moment. This was a defining God moment in their lives. Now, listen to me. It was a defining God moment in their lives. What do I mean by that? I mean by that would Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego betray the God that they claim to believe in? Would Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would they stand up for the God they believed in? Would Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego maintain their godly integrity, or would they just blend in as one of the crowd? Now, you know, you've heard me say this many times, I'm sure, because I've said it many, many, many times, and that is this, that the acid test of your faith, the acid test of your faith is whether or not you're going to be faithful in the fiery hot furnace times in life. And usually the way I say it is this, are you going to be faithful in the tough times? That's the acid test of your faith, because let me tell you, I hope you hear me, because no matter what it is you say, what you really believe comes out when the heat of the furnace gets turned up. No matter what it is you say you believe, what you really believe becomes evident to everybody around you, including yourself, during the fiery hot furnace times of your life. That is, are you going to be faithful when the heat gets turned up on you? Are you going to be faithful when things go wrong? Are you going to be faithful when you're faced with a diagnosis? Are you going to be faithful when you lose your job? Are you going to be faithful when your marriage is falling apart? Are you going to be faithful when your kids run off and do who knows what? Are you going to be faithful in the fiery hot furnace times of your life? Because if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. Matter of fact, you think, how in the world does all this apply? Well, you think about this. You remember when King Nebuchadnezzar said, look, guys, I'm going to give you one more chance. If you don't bow down and worship this statue next time the horns start blowing and the pipes start singing, if you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you immediately into the fiery hot furnace. And what did the guy say? Oh, well, then the king said, and then what God is going to save you? And what did the guy say? Look at the scripture right there. Go ahead to Daniel 3:17. Put 3:17 up. He said, our God. I want you to circle those two words. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand. He said, look, our God is able to do it. He is able to make that happen. But lest you think that they believe that that's the only way God worked, look at the next verse. But if not, underline those three words, but if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. In other words, what's he saying? Let me tell you, you better believe our God is able. The God we serve, he's able to deliver me from your hands and from that fiery hot furnace. But even if he doesn't, we will not betray our God. We will not surrender. We will not bow down. We will not dishonor the God who loves us. We will be faithful anyway. Let me ask you, do you believe God is able to deliver you from the flames of the furnace? Is he able to deliver you in times when you're going through difficult times of life? You better believe he's able. But even if he doesn't, let me ask you this question. Will you remain faithful? Will you be faithful anyway? It's the acid test of our faith. I want to end with this one story. It's a real quick one. You know, last year there was this major motion picture that came out around the Battle of Dunkirk. Battle of Dunkirk. Great movie. Let me tell you a little bit. On December the 1st, 1939, Nazi Germany began what we know today as World War II and swept across Europe in his blitzkrieg, the Lightning War. When all was said and done, he had driven back the French and the British troops, about a half a million guys, right near the city of Dunkirk, backed them up right to the edge of the English Channel. They were trapped. They had nowhere to go. They had nothing to do except to wait for the bombs to continue to fall on them. Matter of fact, Hitler had his armored division surrounding Dunkirk just 15 miles away. But Hitler did something very strange. He halted the move of the armored division so that he was going to give his Luftwaffe the pleasure of being able to wipe all those people off the beach through this bombing raid. Well, this was a horrible time. The people of Britain were scared to death. They knew that this just may be the end of the British Empire. In fact, one of the leaders in Britain wrote his wife, there's a letter to this effect, that said, telling her that they may be forced to commit suicide, that this may be the end of the British Empire as they know it. Some people were trying to bribe Hitler or cut a deal. They were talking about what were they going to do to be able to save all these guys and possibly save some of their island. Well, the British Parliament, King George VI, in the newspapers, called for Britain to celebrate a national day of prayer, to come together all across the British Isles for a national day of prayer on Sunday, May 26th. And on that day, so many people were going to church in Great Britain that lines of people lined up outside of churches all across the British Isles, hoping to get in to be able to pray. This is the line of people that were standing outside of Westminster Abbey, just simply waiting to get into the church in order to pray. And this was happening all over Great Britain, not just in London. And while these folks were praying, the British Army sent back a text of three words. Three words. They were told that they were praying, the people were praying. They were being told praying for their safety. And the British Army texted back a three-word reply. But if not, and that was it. But if not, but you know, you may not understand exactly what that meant, but the people of that day and time did. the people on May 26th did in London and across the British Isles, because they understood that text to be a reference to the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, who said, we believe our God is able to deliver us, but if not, even if he doesn't, we're going to remain faithful to him anyway. And what the British soldiers were saying, that we believe that God is able to deliver us from sure and certain death along this coast, but if not, we will not serve Hitler. We will remain faithful anyway. And out of the 500,000 people, 336,000 were saved that day, during that week, because over a period of 9 days, Winston Churchill called for people that who had a boat to be able to cross the English Channel and come and save these people. And over a period of 9 days, something incredible happened. Their usually treacherous water of the English Channel became virtually mirror calm. But what kept the Luftwaffe from bombing them? Over that 9 days, while all the boats were coming from England across calm water, a thick, heavy blanket of fog descended over the area of Dunkirk and kept the Luftwaffe from finding where the men were. 336,000 saved. Now, to me, it kind of reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yep, I believe God is able to save, but even if he doesn't, we will remain faithful to God anyway. I'll tell you, as I end today, you know, this story, as I said, it's one of my favorites, because it's inspired me. It's inspired me by knowing that no matter what happens, God's grace is sufficient for me. That he doesn't always promise to deliver me from the hands of the flames, or he doesn't always promise me to deliver me from sure and certain death or physical death. But he has promised that he will walk with me, that his grace is sufficient, and that I can always count on the fact that he will never leave my side, that God, and I will do my best that I would never betray the God who loves me more than my wildest dreams or my fondest imagination. This is God's word for us. May we be a church that models what it means to live out this gospel life. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for gathering us in this place to worship you. We pray right now that your Holy Spirit would fill us with such conviction that we may be a church that models what it means to walk the life of faith like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that we actually stand for something, that we stand for you, that we will not bow down, that we will not surrender, that we will not give up, that we will maintain our integrity with the God we know and love. Thank you, Lord, for all good gifts. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest right here in this place, and give us the courage to stand for you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.